Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Blowing up our social media. I should never have doubted you. Final four mascots. That's the category. On this Thursday night into a Friday morning, we are headed for Final Four weekend. Women, men, that's how it goes. Friday, Sunday in Cleveland, Saturday, Monday in Phoenix, and for me in Syracuse. I'll be watching the national championship from Syracuse University, where I'm starting my class again. So it's a good thing that the game is later. I know many people balk at that, especially people on the East Coast who want to go to bed. And if UConn's in it, rut-row, game doesn't tip off until after 9 o'clock Eastern time, though it's 6 o'clock in the Pacific time zone. Are you going to stay up? Are you going to make it? You better. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Your Final Four mascots. Jay and I have got our lists. True to form, I've got too many. I've got to narrow them down. So it's going to be a tough sell to get down to my Final Four. But I can do it if you can do it. Steve, by the way, says the bird from McDonald's is Birdie. You could have just guessed that. Just take a flyer on Birdie. We'll get back to your calls. Again, Twitter and Facebook for your Final Four mascots as we count down toward Final Four weekend. And the women are getting so much attention, which is why we reached out to Hall of Famer and the vice president of the Phoenix Suns, Anne Mercury, plus she's a broadcaster, a long resume, Anne Myers-Drysdale, an NCAA champion in her own right. And I wanted to ask about her reaction to this explosion in popularity with women's college basketball over this last year, not just Iowa, but more and more attention and record viewership numbers. It's always great to have Anne on the show with us again, anytime there's a Hall of Famer. But Anne, what's your reaction to what we've seen in women's basketball over the course of the last 12 months?
We're just so excited. For these kids, it's changed so much, and certainly the game has grown. ESPN has changed everything. I'd like to see more of it, but that's because I'm selfish. The NIL has really made a big difference too, and so you're seeing more games on TV. You're seeing advertisers. You're seeing social media. These kids are playing by the time they're 5, 6, 7 years old, and now USA Basketball. You've got the 16 and under. They didn't, USA Basketball, we were on the first Olympic team in 1976. And so now you've got all these international teams and so forth, and kids are playing, representing their country at such a young age, and they all know each other. We didn't know each other in different parts of the country. And but to see where the popularity of somebody like Caitlin Clark can draw you know, in a football stadium. And even if you look at Nebraska and volleyball, getting 90,000. And so it's just not basketball. But that's the one sport that really draws the eye of the fan. And gambling's changed things, too. You know, the men are really interested. And I heard Jim Boeheim said, you know, he drove to Albany to watch Caitlin Clark play. He said, last time I did that was with Pete Maravich 50 years ago. So, you know, a lot of men are involved and really excited, not just to watch Caitlin, because as much as Caitlin has done for our game, she's been phenomenal. And not just as a scorer, but a teammate and a passer. And I personally think she's a good defensive player and can rebound. And just she's a complete player. But you've got Paige Beckers, and then you got the freshman, you know, in Notre Dame and USC, and what Dawn Staley's doing this year at South Carolina, undefeated. You know, the surprise of NC State, but, you know, Connecticut's still up there. And just what LSU has done, receiving a lot of information. Again, the nil, has really changed things, where these athletes can get out there and people recognize who they are.
How do you explain the popularity of this one young woman, considering that it's not like the first women's basketball player that's ever scored a lot of points? Why do you think it's been such a fixation on her specifically?
I'll go back to when I played at UCLA, getting the first scholarship to UCLA, and my brother David was there. And so it was a human interest story, and Coach Wooden supported the women's game and so forth. I received a lot of attention, and women's basketball received a lot of attention because of my brother and because of Coach Wooden. And then Billy Moore came in, and we won the championship in 78. But, you know, we had Lucy Harris from Delta State. We had Carol Blazewski. Lieberman came along. Lynette Woodard. And then Cheryl Miller. Cheryl Miller at USC with the twins, Pam and Paula McGee, and Cynthia Cooper. And they kind of changed things. And Cheryl was like the Pied Piper. I mean, she really was. She drew a lot of attention and was exciting and fun to watch. And the media loved it. But why didn't we continue to get more attention? Jackie Stiles,
right,
at Southwest Missouri State. And then you had Plum and Ionescu. But nobody heard of Pearl Moore. Lynette Woodard got so much attention this year because of Caitlin, thank goodness. And Carol Blazewski. Blaze, she still holds a single record scoring at 38.6 points a game in her senior year. And that was a regular size ball and no three-point shot. Not a lot of attention on that. But Caitlin has just captured the media. And being in the Midwest, whether it's the All-American girl kind of thing, and I think the media has a lot of articles that played up racism and sexism. And we see that it still continues in our game today in women's sports, unfortunately. But you've got Kim Mulkey speaking up and Corey Close and Tara Vandeveer, a great coach at Stanford. There's just so many more women that feel confident about who they are, too.
That is a great point, too. When a few speak up, then there's that empowerment, and you can see that wave and the different personalities. For instance, you couldn't have two more opposite personalities than Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. Both popular in their own rights, both incredible players in their own rights. The combination of these last two games between LSU and Iowa have made incredible entertainment.
It really has, and it's a yin and a yang. I mean, in sports, you know, it's Ali against Frazier. It's the Lakers against the Celtics. You have to have that competition. And so when you've got a name like Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, and LSU won the championship last year, can Iowa win it this year? Or is Paige Beckers and her group at Connecticut? You know, and Connecticut has been an unbelievable program for such a long time and have won championships with somebody like Diana Taurasi and Swin Cash and Sue Bird and Maya Moore and Brianna Stewart, the great players that have gone through there. Are you counting North Carolina State out? You better not. I mean, they can surprise you. But again, South Carolina, just quietly, Dawn Staley just being named Coach of the Year. And Lisa Bluter had a great year, and Tara Vandeveer and Lindsey Gottlieb at USC. I mean, so many coaches are really staying in the game, and I think that that's important.
Ann Myers-Drysdale, she's a Hall of Famer. She's one of our favorites. I've had the chance to work with her courtside, and we always enjoy having her here on the show after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And yes, the Women's Final Four tips off on Friday night, taking over Cleveland. You mentioned Lindsey Gottlieb. I had her on the show not that long ago, and I asked her about her time in the NBA when she was on the Cleveland bench. Lindsey Harding ends up winning the G League Coach of the Year. How important is that, do you think, that women have opportunities out of this package or maybe this formula, this box that people put them in?
Yeah, just getting the opportunities. Bernadette was at probably the first woman, I think, on the bench in college with Rick Pitino at Kentucky. Jenny Busick's in Indiana, and there's so many others that have gone on the bench. I know that Kara Lawson was in Sacramento, I think, for a while. So was Lieberman. So you look at Becky Hammon and her being in San Antonio. And,
right.
You know, there's more and more women getting the opportunity. But it's still a good old boy network, believe me. Unless you've got a male coach or a culture that is saying, yeah, this person understands the game and we know that this woman is going to benefit in the locker room with our players and teach and coach, and they understand it, and it's going to help our organization. So, you know, it takes somebody that is willing to take that opportunity and say, this is what we're going to do.
Yes.
But everybody else has got to follow. They've got to respect that. And people did that with Pop in San Antonio with Becky. Rick Carlisle in Indiana. I mean, Jenny Busick's been on the bench when he was in Dallas, and now she's in Indiana. And, you know, she's been a coach for a long time, too. So Lindsay Harding has worked hard and has done a great job. I'm happy for her. I'm proud of her. She's been in the game a long time, and we have a lot of women that are they going to get the chance to coach, whether in the pros or the college. On the men's side, I don't know. But the men certainly get the opportunity to coach women. Before Title IX, 75%, 80% of the jobs were held by women coaches on the high school and college level. Since Title IX, less than 50% of those jobs are held by women because there's more money in it and men are taking those jobs.
And how much will the WNBA benefit from having yet another group of high-profile stars who have become household names?
Well, there's no question it's changed. You know, you look at the very beginning of the league with Cheryl Swoops and Cynthia Cooper and Tina Thompson and Lisa Leslie, and you go down the list of the great players that, you know, came in, and Houston winning those four championships early on. Tamika Catchings, Lisa Leslie, Londa Griffith, Tisha Panichero, Maya Moore, Breanna Stewart now. Breanna Stewart's one of the older veterans, and the game is changing.
Right.
We've got Diana Taurasi in Phoenix. You know, she's in her 40s, still playing into her 20th year. And amazing, probably has a great opportunity to make her sixth Olympic team. And but you've got Asia Wilson and Plum and Young, Chelsea Gray, one of the great guards in this league. Natasha Cloud has now just come over to Phoenix from Washington. Elena Deladon sitting out. But, you know, you got to talk about these players that have been in this league and people aren't talking about them. I don't want our players of today being compared to the men in the NBA. We have enough women in this league, almost a 30-year-old league, that now these players need to be compared to them. Sabrina Ionescu and Caitlin Clark shoot like Steph Curry. Well, no, they shoot like themselves, okay? And I know people can relate to the guys, but they've got to start relating to the women, and the broadcasters have to recognize that too.
I like that you bring that up, because one of the things that I heard from Sabrina this year that really stuck with me is if you can shoot, you can shoot. It doesn't matter what gender you are.
Well, it shouldn't, but I was at the All-Star game watching. It was great. I would have loved to have seen Sabrina win. But there were men, I was sitting around men, and they were saying, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad. Oh, what, you know, what if she had won? What,
oh.
You know? And that's in the name of my book. You Let Some Girl Beat You?
Right.
So that title of my book still pertains today in sports and so forth, that men really have a tough time, that if a woman does beat them in a sport, it's like, oh, something must have happened.
Ann Myers-Drysdale is with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk about the Phoenix Suns, since that's your job as VP of the Suns and the Mercury, and also fresh off a broadcast last night in a game against Cleveland. So now a year down the road, how do you like the combination of KD and Devin Booker and how they've grown?
Well, it's such a different team from last year with Chris Paul gone, too, and
right.
And Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. You know, Devin talked about it last night. He said, you know, steel sharpens steel. And that's what Kevin Durant and Devin Booker have done with each other. I mean, they scored, 72 points together last night. Book had 40 and KD had 32. But they do it, you know, they pass the ball. And then you've got somebody like Bradley Beal, who has really had to change his game a lot. Nurkic comes in as the perfect center for the Suns this year, losing Ayton. Ayton is a terrific talent, but just wasn't the kind of center that was going to blend. Grayson Allen has come in, and Eric Gordon, and now you've got Royce O'Neal. And, you know, so we've had a lot of injuries, as every team has, and you work through that. And Frank Vogel, you know, in his first year, really, I think, you know, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker have so much respect for each other, and they open the game up for teammates because they get double teamed, and, you know, it just gives the opportunity on spacing to get the ball to open guys when you're double teamed like that.
How tight is the West? How much of a margin actually separates those top 10 teams?
Well, the Clippers just won against Denver tonight, and Clippers are in fourth, but that can flip-flop in Oklahoma City. You know, who would have thought Minnesota would be in first with Townsend out? And we play them tomorrow, and then we play New Orleans again on Sunday. We play the Clippers twice, and then we go on the road playing L.A., and then having to play with Sacramento and Minnesota. So we've got a tough final six games. And but you know, Dallas, we're right there with Dallas. We were a play-in game before the game last night, at the eighth spot, and with New Orleans losing and us winning, we jumped up to the sixth. So, you know, it's going to flip-flop. That West is so tough.
11 total games between the Timberwolves, who are currently in the one spot, and the Warriors. The Warriors, who are in the 10 spot.
And they had a big win tonight. Lakers have been playing well. So, you know, we know that Boston's going to win by double figures.
Yeah.
You know, they've got 60 wins already. And but, you know, you've got to get it done in the playoffs.
The Suns have won 7 of their last 10, and as you point out, very tight with the Pelicans and the Mavericks ahead of them in the standings. How do you get a team so they're playing some of their best basketball with the regular season wrapping up?
We have enough guys on this team, obviously, that have been in the playoffs, and they know where to start peaking. And we are starting to play well together. We had a little bit of a downfall against San Antonio where Victor was out, and we lost that game, and we had beaten them by, 20, 30 the night before, a few nights before. So it's consistency, and all the players talk about consistency and communication and certainly getting healthy. Everybody's got to get it healthy. The NBA is tough in the playoffs. I mean, every series is a 7-game playoff series, and it's long. It's aggressive. It's hard. It's physical. And to be able to get a lot of rest and sustain minutes out there. And you got to play a lot of minutes. A lot of the coaches shorten up their benches when it gets to playoff time.
Why was Frank Vogel the right coach to come in for the Suns this year?
Well, Matt Ishbia, our new owner, you know, he's the one that went after Frank and felt obviously he'd won a championship in L.A. with the Lakers and with LeBron James and, you know, having stars on the Lakers, and felt that him coming in, being able to be with somebody like Devin Booker and certainly Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant, you know, understanding that. But it's been a tough year because of the injuries and so forth. As they call the big three, I think Bradley Beal has really changed his game to help this team win, which hasn't been easy because there's not, quote, a natural point guard on the team. But Frank Vogel has such confidence in players on this team. KD brings the ball up. Devin brings the ball up. Bradley brings the ball up. We'll see Nurkic bring the ball up at that center spot. And, you know, everybody kind of trades off and gets everybody else involved.
The WNBA has a different type of a format where they draft and then pretty quickly go into training camps and then the schedule, since you don't have any picks in the first couple rounds. How do you end up building a roster, adding to your roster?
Well, we also have a new general manager, a new coach, and Nate is a new coach where he's got a different kind of idea coming in. We've got to get some younger also. You know, BG just signed Brittany Griner. We're so excited to have her back. And
yes,
I think physically, emotionally, and mentally we'll be better prepared this year. I think that's key after what happened to her last year. Honestly, so impressed with this young woman to come back from being in prison for how many months over in another country in Soviet Union, Russia. I'm sure it wasn't easy, but
no.
She's just got such a kind heart and everything. And Diana, I don't think anybody works as hard as Diana Taurasi. She's out there every morning and takes care of her body and her conditioning and so forth. And she wants to be the best. But bringing in Natasha Cloud is a veteran point guard who's one of the best in the league, I think. Bringing Copper over, aggressive, been a champion, MVP when they beat us in the finals, and Sophie Cunningham's been getting in shape, and we've signed some good players into training camp. And so I think Nate's going to have his work cut out. And it's so hard, as you said, Amy, that to make a WNBA team because of the salary cap and there's only so many limited spots. And with 12 teams, that the salaries really come into play, and sometimes veterans don't make it. And sometimes you get drafted by a team, and as good as you were in college, you're playing against women that have been in the league 5-10 years, and it's a big difference. And unless you're exceptional and you get a coach that is willing to work with you, and are you willing to be able to be a player that is going to sit the bench and learn after you've been a star in your college?
Right.
That's a hard transition.
You mentioned Diana being 41, which is incredible for any pro athlete, but she's been playing at such a high level. How much of an example and an impact is she for younger players, not just on the Mercury roster, but throughout women's basketball?
Well, and here I go comparing her to one of the male athletes, and that's LeBron James. And people keep saying, you know, LeBron, oh my gosh, look at what he's doing at you know, 39.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be 40. And I mean, he's having an MVP year for him. And the thing, his numbers that he's putting up. And Diana Taurasi does the same thing. Taurasi knows the game. She understands the game. I like that she's going to be playing at her natural position now. And will have the ability to score more and get open looks. And I think that that's going to be really helpful in her game. And, you know, Nate's been working with her a lot and seeing what she does and seeing what her mind is like and so forth. I just have so much respect for her. You know, she plays hard. A lot of people, you know, when she goes out there on the court, a lot of people don't like playing against her. But, you know, she's going to give it your all, and she's the kind of player you want on your team.
It was really neat earlier this season to witness the first meeting between Caitlin Clark and Maya Moore after Caitlin talked about how much Maya had meant to her and how she just idolized Maya. Her success and the way she carried herself helped to impact Caitlin in such an incredible way.
Well, absolutely. And you talk about Maya and playing with Sylvia Fowles, who's up for the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame, and somebody like Elena Beard is too, and Sue Bird. But, you know, having Maya Moore play in the WNBA, and then the choice she made, you know, to decide not to play, and where she is in her life now, you have so much respect for her. But, mm-hmm. you know, what an unbelievable player. And, you know, the fact that we've got young women growing up, seeing our game and being able to see players that they can relate to, and for Caitlin to be able to have that, and probably didn't even know anything about Lynette Woodard until all this stuff with the, you know, the AIW compared to the NCAA, which the NCAA is way out of line in not recognizing the athletes of AIW days, but they recognize the coaches. They can't have it both ways, clump everybody together. But Lynette Woodard getting recognition is huge. But, you know, I love the fact that Caitlin Clark was vocal about, you know, Maya Moore is somebody that she watched. And I'm a little, you know, frustrated to hear young women today still say, oh, I'm following this guy. I'm following this guy in the NBA, the NBA, the NBA. But, you know, start watching our game. I go and speak to college kids and high school kids. I say, who's your favorite player? And they say, an NBA guy. Who's your favorite team? They say, an NBA team. And I say, you want to play professionally? You're a woman. You start following the WNBA, you start following the teams, and you start following the players and start watching. And hopefully people like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, just go down the list.
Right.
There's so many exciting college players that are going to be in the WNBA. And the great players that we have in our league now, those are the players that need to be followed.
Great advice from a Hall of Famer, Ann Myers Drysdale, although vice president of the Suns and the Mercury, and still courtside doing TV broadcasts. It's always good to catch up with her. You can find her on Twitter at Ann Myers. We should do this more than once a year, but it's always an honor to have you on the show.
I love talking with you. I miss working with you.
I know. Thank you so much, Ann.
Thank you. And I'll say go Mercury, go Suns.
Suns first, and then the Mercury, and they don't have a first-round pick, so they're not going to get one of these top players that is declared, but they have made a couple of trades and moves. And as for the Suns, it's really neat to hear her comments about what they call the big three, right? Bradley Beal gets grouped in with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, and the injuries, they're always a factor that teams have to navigate. But I like the fact that we're about to get to the playoffs and see how the Stars rise to the occasion. Just as a side note, and I know we ran a little late, I was talking about this with a friend of mine recently, and it came out of my mouth. It wasn't a cognizant thought before I said it, but it came out of my mouth how well Kevin Durant has settled in post-Achilles tear. Now, I know he had a couple of injuries initially that took some games away from him, and he was frustrated by it, but you might not know that Durant had a torn Achilles 4 years ago. Was it 4 years ago now? I mean, he really has done the work to get healthy again. His game looks exactly the same. I mean, he's older, so he's not going to be zipping up and down the court. But in terms of his ability to impact the game and to range with his length and his reach to defend, obviously he can still shoot and he can still elevate. I mean, you wouldn't know that he'd had a torn Achilles. Aaron Rodgers a little older, Kirk Cousins, they don't play the same sport, obviously, but how do I think that bodes well if you're talking about the doctors who operate at the highest level on pro athletes? So good for KD. It was a tough couple of years, but I'm excited to see what happens in the West specifically.
You know, no complaints from me.
Well, that's a first. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Your Final Four mascots. Man, they're coming in like nobody's business. You're shoveling them in as we head through these final 90 minutes until we set you free for the weekend. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the...
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
After Hours Podcast.
Bothers me when I see people tearing down these great players. Isn't this what we all wanted, you know, is for our game to continue to rise? And so to me, it's a shame when people, you know, not only, you know, adults, when adults are tearing down these women, when all we should be doing is building them up. They're amazing.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Lisa Bluder of the Iowa Hawkeyes. Seriously, really cool to have her on the show just a couple weeks ago. And now Iowa is one of the four teams standing in women's basketball for a national championship. Tipping off with UConn, you'll hear from Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark on the final hour of the show. But that is the second half of the doubleheader. Dawn Staley's Gamecocks, South Carolina versus NC State is coming up in the early game from Cleveland. And it's kind of interesting, too, because everything that I keep hearing about the Final Four in sports this weekend is interspersed with the solar eclipse. Americans all over the country are planning for this. I guess you could call it rare, but we just had one a couple years ago.
So I'm not crazy. I thought we just had one.
No, you're not. You're not crazy. But I didn't have glasses for that one, and I don't have glasses for this one. I tried to make my own with a box. Did you hear about the homemade version?
I've seen.
The telescope type of thing through a hole in a box that you can see the solar eclipse.
Right?
Yeah, it didn't work.
No.
Maybe I did it wrong, but it didn't work. So it's too late to get glasses now.
No, I got you.
You have glasses?
I will get them. I have a guy who has the glasses. So
okay, that sounds a little bit like Ipe. I've got a guy.
I got
who can place the bets for me. You know, it's really funny. The last solar eclipse, I was at my previous house, and I remember I went outside. I tried to look. Of course, I tried to look with my own two eyes. I tried to look with sunglasses. All bad ideas. Do as I say, not as I do. I remember I was taking Penny for a walk, and I was encountering different people who were outside. And this one mom with her younger daughter, they were really excited. They were laughing. They were pointing. She was showing her daughter. And I kind of laughed because the little girl's giggle was so cute. And the mom said, "Would you like to see?" So I was able to walk across the street.
Nice.
And they let me borrow their glasses for 30 seconds to look at the solar eclipse. Yeah, it was really cool. Otherwise, I would not have seen it except for getting blinded trying to look at it with my bare eyes.
Is that real?
Is what real?
Like, if you look at it, you'll get blinded. Like, do we know anybody that's happened to?
I know people who've had damage from looking at the sun.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Uh-huh. No, I wouldn't recommend it.
Did you see the Airbnb path? You know what I'm talking about? So you know how, like, the solar eclipse, it has, like, 100% eclipse on, like, a certain path from all across the country? So on Twitter, I could retweet it, or on X, excuse me. The Airbnbs along that entire path where it's 100% eclipse are sold out throughout the country. So all along, it's like a strict, like, yellow line that they showed us, that all the Airbnbs in that line are sold out. It's crazy.
Is this the last one in our lifetime? Is that why?
It'll probably be one in, like, 3 years.
Okay. Your final four mascots. You know, we have one more category coming up on Sunday night into Monday. Maybe it should have something to do with the total solar eclipse. The coolest natural phenomenon you've ever seen. Whether it's the natural wonders, I don't know. Something to do with nature, Jay.
I like nature.
I like nature too. All right. Now okay. I want to differ. I was thinking something to do with pop culture, but in honor of the solar eclipse, maybe we should do something along the lines of natural phenomena.
I think it's fitting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is why I get paid the big bucks. I can't even say it with a straight face. Okay, let's go back to our phones really quick. Benny's in Dallas. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Benny. Who are your final four mascots?
Man, I'm going to go back. I'm kind of old, so I'm going to go back. Number four will be Big Bird.
Yes, absolutely. I love how you laugh about it.
Hey, number three would be Sigma the Sea Monster.
I don't think I know him.
Oh my God. It's an old, I'm talking about an old show that used to come back on back in the day.
Gotcha.
Number two would be Max Headroom.
Oh, yes, I remember him.
Yes. And number one, my all-time favorite, Captain Crunch.
Benny, can I just tell you how happy it makes me that you find such delight in mascots?
Man, look, I am rolling. I am in my truck in San Antonio, rolling back to Dallas. I listen to you every night, and I am over here just tripping.
No, seriously, that makes me really happy that we provide you some entertainment, because I got to tell you, I've been questioning my radio skills for the last couple hours, thinking, Amy, what are you doing? We're talking about mascots, for heaven's sakes. But I'm glad you find it amusing.
Oh, yes. I love it. I've been loving it all night.
Okay, good. Well, that makes me feel better. Thank you, Benny. We're happy to keep you company.
Hey, thank you.
He might be the one who's found us the most entertaining.
He enjoyed it. He made me look up Sigmund the Sea Monster, too.
And who's he with?
Oh, my. He's Sigmund the Sea Monster from the show. He is his own show, or he had his own show. He is a sight to behold. Just look him up. I'll
okay,
say that.
But what's, so he was a TV show?
He was a TV show in the 70s.
Oh, what is with you people trying to drop pop culture references on us from the 70s and then getting mad at us when we don't know? Actually, he didn't get mad. This is kind of like what happened with the Warriors, the movie. We had no idea, and people were upset about it.
He's like a clump of seaweed or algae or garbage. I'm not really sure. That's what he is.
Garbage. I don't think he's garbage. He's a sea monster.
He might be.
He's a sea monster.
He's kind of cute. I don't know.
Huh. I'm adding to my list the more people we hear from. I think, shoot, I need that mascot in my final four. Are you getting close to being ready with yours?
I'm close.
I'm ready. Okay, good. All right, coming up next, though, we're going to take a bit of a pivot, and then we'll get back to your mascots. But the insight from Joe Maddon as a former manager of Shohei Ohtani's, we found to be fairly revelatory. Oh, what a good word. He did a recent podcast and talked about the relationship between he and his former interpreter. So thought it might lend a little context to what Shohei Ohtani might be going through now.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Podcast.
Three and one to Ohtani. Rogers set the pitch. Swung on and drilled. Deep right field. There it is. The first home run is a Los Angeles Dodger for Shohei Ohtani. And it's 5-3. Oh, and no doubter to the pavilion in right center. As Shohei showed him.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Shohei Ohtani finally got off the schneid and got back to showtime with his first home run. Dave Roberts even called it a relief. I'm sure he felt the same way, considering the attention and the pressure that's on him. But then the headlines for all the wrong reasons over the last month or so. I guess it's not been quite a month yet, but it feels like forever since we've seen Ipe Mitsuhara. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I wonder if he's thankful for Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes and the way that they have turned the attention of the nation in a different direction. And now the eclipse. I mean, these two events coming along at the perfect time for Ipe to just fade into the distance or be Homer in the bush.
Slowly back in.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, when he slowly backs away.
It's a fantastic gif where he just blends back in with
the
bushes.
That is exactly what Ipe's doing right now.
That's what Ipe's doing. He's hiding in the bushes, and he just kind of...
Don't worry about me.
Backed up. Oh, Caitlin Clark, you go ahead and grab the spotlight. Oh, there's a solar eclipse? Wow, can't wait for that.
Oh, Stephon Diggs?
Hey, where did Ipe go?
Who?
It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We actually found this podcast with Joe Maddon as the guest, former big league manager, and obviously was Shohei's manager when he was with the Angels. And the questions were asked of Joe about Ipe's access to some of the personal information with Shohei, because I think that's what a lot of us are hung up on, is why would a translator, an interpreter, have access to all of these millions of dollars if, in fact, he did steal the money from Shohei?
That's not a stretch for me. The part that's somewhat of a stretch is the fact that it would get by Nez somehow. You know, those kind of transactions would not...
His agent.
The agency would not be aware of that. That's the only part that's incongruent with all of this. But easily that Shohei would rely on Ipe to handle like daily bill paying, whether it was via Venmo or PayPal or a check. Who knows? I don't even know. So that to me is not a reach by any means. The part that I don't quite understand is be like the fact that especially when you talked about those numbers, if they are accurate, that the agency would not have known about that too.
Right. $4.5 million in wire transfers. If that's an accurate number, and what Shohei has indicated, what his camp is saying, that Ippei Mitsuhara stole all this money, how did it fly under the radar and no one noticed? So Joe tells the Starkville podcast with my friend Jason Stark and also Doug Glanville, former big leaguer, that it's not so much the access that he has an issue with, but that Joe doesn't understand why the agent Nez didn't flag it, or no one around Ippei and around Shohei flagged it. So that's one piece of, I think, interesting insight from Joe. Then he goes on another podcast called The Wind Up, and this is more about why Ippei would have access and what it is about their relationship that we have to look at differently.
Friends, that's what it looked like. We all had best friends in our life. Best friends, that's what it looked like. We all had best friends in our life. The guy's my drinking buddy, although I don't know that they ever went out drinking. I don't even think they went out hardly at all. But he was his best friend. That was my perception. Beyond being a business associate, being his interpreter, they came across as being best friends. They're inseparable. So that was my interpretation. And again, I mean, that's being at the ballpark, that's seeing him on a bus, seeing him in a hotel, whatever, on an airplane. So you never got to socialize with them to understand exactly to the extent, but inseparable, always seemed to have a good rapport, easy conversation, never seen either one agitated around the other. So again, for all those different reasons, difficult to understand this.
Even people around Shohei and Ippei Mitsuhara knew that they were inseparable. Joe Madden uses that word, but doesn't really understand how it broke down so drastically or how this could happen. But he did describe them as best friends, that they were together all the time. And certainly, Ippei would have been Shohei's comfort, right? It would have been his buffer into a world where he's expected to perform at the highest level. He's one of the most recognizable athletes on the planet. He's got jobs to do, jobs plural, pitching and hitting. He's navigating a pretty crazy schedule that takes so much out of him mentally and physically. So does this potentially change your mind about how Ippei could have access and could have the means to be able to bilk this money from Shohei? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Was it about Shohei needing help so that he could focus on baseball?
It was always Ippei. I never saw, I mean, other than Nez, you know, his agent, I had a great relationship with Nez. They would sit in the box at Anaheim right there. I'd often go over and speak with them. There was different things I was trying to include him with, like even foundational wise, you know, and I would talk to Nez about that too. So had a great relationship with him. I mean, he was obviously active in this too. I don't think anything went to Shohei via Ippei, but didn't go through Nez also. So it was a well-oiled machine. I never thought twice about it. It seemed to be working extremely well. Who would have thought gambling would become an issue in this relationship? Last thing you would expect.
Joe Madden, former Angels manager, with some insight into the relationship between Shohei and Ippei. And if we could just jam in one more, not necessarily Shohei, but international players and how much they rely on the guy who is translating for them.
The interpreter, I think, has a lot of latitude regarding making sense of what he had said or putting it into a language that is presentable, in a sense, to the reporter. So he's almost speaking on behalf. It's almost like he's translating. He's translating what he said into English, of course, and then translating it further. Everybody understands the gist of what he's trying to get across. And beyond that, I mean, ordering food in a restaurant, driving him somewhere. I don't even know if taking the laundry out and back. I mean, there's a lot going on there. Sort of like a butler, I guess, of sorts, you know, in that regard. And then a confidant and a trusted advisor. Because I would think I'd have to have full trust and faith in this person if I did not speak the language.
Does that change your mind at all? That's the question. Because I hear it and my heart softens a bit. And this is where my naivete comes in, because I want to believe people. I don't want to believe that Shohei Ohtani would sit there at a press conference and read 12 minutes of remarks and would just be lying through his teeth the whole time. I don't want to believe he'd be the kind of guy who would turn his best friend into a fall guy. But maybe it was his fall guy. But then I think again, how could he lie to us like that? Is he really that type of a dude who is hiding his own gambling proclivities in order to preserve his career? And it doesn't matter whether or not he's completely disingenuous and telling lies about this friend of his. I need to know
who's going to be the fall guy.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.